you've never met before, and then you can sit down. Tell them hi, and then give some praise to the worship team, or give them some applause, because they did great. Yay. Awesome, praise God. Well, happy Houston Young Adult Night, April edition. So I'm excited y'all are here. There's a lot of new faces. I know I met a few before, but if this is your first time at a Houston Young Adult Night, please raise your hand. Wow, lift it up high. Look at all those hands. That is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Well, we're so excited that you're here. We're glad you decided to be here in the house of the Lord. You will not regret it. And if you open up your heart tonight to receive what the Lord has given me to share with you, I know it's going to change your life because it's changed my life. I don't share anything that hasn't changed my life. If I just like came up here and just said something that I heard someone else say and it didn't impact me first, what are we doing here? Because it's not going to impact you. So this is a word that the Lord gave me to share with you tonight. And I know it's going to bless you. I know that you're going to leave changed and transformed. So I'm excited that y'all are here. And that know that if you're taking this time out on your last Friday of the month. There's so many places you can be. You can choose to do so many things on, you know, your week, your end of your week. You might be, I'm tired, I wanted to stay home, but you're here, and you're gonna receive, and the Lord's going to do something powerful in your life. Amen. So with that, we're going to go to the Word right ahead. We're gonna save up time for sowing seed and offering after, so we'll do that later. But if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to open up myself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And my name is Courtney, by the way, for those that I have never met. I want to meet y'all after. We're going to have some hangout. We're going to have a time to hang out and snacks and food and stuff. So make sure y'all stay and hang and get to know everybody because everyone's really cool here and fun. So we're going to start 1 Peter 1, verse 23 in the King James. So it's talking about us here. Being born again, so that's talking about you and me, if you're a born-again believer, if you've given your life to Jesus, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of a man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word of the Lord, which by the gospel is preached unto you. So just to start here, it talks about in the scripture that you have been born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And the incorruptible seed it's talking about, it says it's the word of God. So first and foremost, we need to know that the word of God is seed. But it's not only just any regular seed, it is incorruptible seed. So this, the seed of the word of God never perishes, it never decays, it never can destruct. And so it's talking about our life here and what we've been born from. So our new life in Christ comes from seed. It comes from the word of God. And just like any form of seed, once seed is planted in the ground, then it produces a crop, it produces a fruit, it produces a tree with fruit on it, and in that, there is more seed. And so you come from a seed, but also your life now becomes a seed. Everything you think, everything you speak out of your mouth, your attitudes, your actions are all seeds. And you need to see that your whole life now is a seed because of what God has done. And really, everyone's life is that seed. So we're going to talk tonight about one of God's greatest laws that he has given to us and set in motion. And it's concerning the seed. And once you understand the power of a seed in your life, it's going to guide you in every area of your life. It's going to completely change your life when you understand this law of seed time and harvest. So Genesis 8, 22. This is another foundation scripture that we'll kind of go back to. Genesis 8, verse 22 says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest." Say seed time and harvest. And then it says, "Cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease." So it's saying here that as long as the earth exists, there's a law, and it's seed, time, and harvest that God has set in motion. And as long as the earth exists, this law exists in your life. Seed plus time, and then harvest. And so the whole earth is revolved around seed, time, and harvest, around cold and heat, summer and winter. We're going to see all of those day and night. They will never, ever end. So the more that we understand this law and how our world, our life is surrounded by this law, then the more that we can start to see the harvest that comes on the other side of seed planting. So let's go also, we're saying in Genesis, Genesis 1, verse 28. Everything happens on earth is going to revolve around the law of seed time and harvest. Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, God blessed them. So this is at the beginning. He's talking to Adam. He's talking to Eve at the beginning of time. God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." So, to break this down a little bit, in these two verses, verse 28 and 29, it says that in the beginning, he blessed them, and then he commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply, and then he gave them dominion. So right off the bat, he gives us dominion to take charge in life, to take charge over every single thing that pertains to the world. And then he says, "I give you seed." So that's the second thing he gave us. So he gave us two things right at the beginning. He gave us dominion, he gave us authority, and then he gave us seed, seed that will sow. And he says, "To you, this is going to be for meat," which means in another version, it says, "This is going to be for you to eat. This is going to be for you to have food. This is going to be for you to have provision in your life." Authority, dominion, and seed is going to be for you to eat, live, and be sustained in your life. So since the beginning, God has intended for us to be sowers. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a sower." Amen. So a sower, and we're not, and I'm not just talking, I want to just make this clear at the beginning, we're not talking about like farmers. We're talking, this is going to, seed, the Bible talks about how seed is in relation to the word of God, that incorruptible seed that I talked about at the beginning. Seed is the word of God. Seed is also, you can sow love. You can sow friendship as a seed. Time is a seed. Your life is a seed, because it talks about how Jesus sowed his life. Jesus is a seed, and then he produced a harvest of many souls. So there's many examples of seeds. We're not just talking about a physical seed that's going to, we're not going to be like farmers here, unless you want to be a farmer. You can grow a garden. I kind of want to grow a garden, but you know, anyway. So we're talking about sowers in life of all things. Amen. Just to be clear. So God intended for us to be sowers in life. So we're to sow in life so that we can grow that thing in our life. And so he gave us dominion and he gave us seed. So seed is God's gift to us. Seed is God's gift to us. God gave us the authority to determine our own future, our own destiny, our own outcome according to the seeds that we're sowing in our life. I'm going to say that again. God gave us the authority and the dominion so that we are in charge of our future. We can actually dictate how our future is going to be. So it's not up to chance. It's not up to the devil. It's not up to where we came from in our life. It's not up to the past. It's not up to anything but the seeds that we're sowing. God's put us in charge. And that's empowering when you know that you're in charge of your life. No one is in charge of your life. Your past is. Your past isn't. The government is not. You are in charge, and God's given you that power through the power of dominion and the seed that he's given to us. So once you come into this knowledge that your life is determined by the seeds that you sow, this should make you want to become a decision to be a radical sower in all areas of your life, not just in finances, but in every area of your life. So we talked about the seed in Genesis. Let's hop over to Galatians 6. Let's talk about the other part of this law of seed time and harvest. Let's talk about the harvest part. Galatians 6, verse 7. It says that you will harvest exactly what you plant. I'm reading that in a different version. I think it's the New Living Translation. It says you're going to harvest exactly what you plant. Or in another version, it says, whatsoever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. I loved it in this version, the Phillips version, which is probably not on the back. So just write this down. Phillips says, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. So we got to know that harvests in life don't just happen. They are results from first sowing seeds. And when I talk about harvest, again, we're not talking about actual corn harvest. We're not talking about cotton harvest or whatever, you know, you might be thinking of. We're talking about the harvest of God's goodness in your life, the harvest of the manifestations of what God's word says in your life. God's producing something in your life that you see from the word, but it will not come about unless you sow seed. So things don't just automatically happen. And I think that's something we have to make sure we understand, especially as believers. Things don't just fall from the sky, you know? We know that his blessings come down, but there's something that we first sow. There's something that we first do to release the harvest in our lives. And there's a way that God does it, and it's through seed time, and harvest. Amen. So, in the Amplified Classic of this verse, in Galatians 6, 7, it says, do not be deceived, deluded, or misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions. He will not allow his precepts to be set aside. That's what it says in the Amplified Classic. Can you put in the Amplified Classic? He will not allow himself for his precepts to be set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. So it says straight up, God's not mocked. He's not gonna allow himself to be called a liar or the one to blame for where we are in our life. We have to understand that where we are because we failed maybe to plant in the past. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, you know, for just to put it out there. It's hard to kind of hear that where I'm at is because of things that have been previously planted that I didn't want to be planted in my life. But now that I know, I can start to plant the right seeds. I can start to make sure that I'm going to produce the harvest that God's word says by planting the right seeds in my life. So I say this, I bring this scripture up because I remember reading this and being like, this isn't really the way that it goes. Like, you want to like kind of reason it in your own head that like, it doesn't work like this. But this, I'm trying to get at this, because that this is God's way. This is the way that it works for everybody in life. The bad seeds that are sown produce a bad harvest in life. And we see that. You might have come from that prior to Christ. Bad things that have been sown into your life. and you might have reaped the results of it, and you don't like it, and you didn't like it. And when you came to Christ, you knew there was hope. There was ability to change it. And the way that it's changed is by new seeds that are planted, new life that comes, new harvest. So there's always hope. There's always hope with this, but we must kind of come to this understanding that God will not be mocked. This law is not going away. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest is God's way of doing things. And so it comes down to, you know, there's many people in the world, even as believers, that are believing for things. They might say, I'm believing for something, but really they haven't set aside the time to get into the Word of God and plant those seeds in their life that's going to produce that harvest. It doesn't come automatically, but when you understand this, you're going to get to work and you're going to be a sower in your life. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I was kind of saying that this is God's way. He didn't choose it to be any other way. And it can't be cheated and it can't be worked around, you know. He didn't liken God didn't liken the ways of the kingdom of God to going to school. When you go to school, you know, you can probably still pass by cheating or by cramming the night before. I know, like, some people did that, okay? Some people crammed the night before. I never cheated. But listen, if you cheat and you get an A, it does not mean that you got it all down. You figured out a way to work the system. But you can't work the system of seed time and harvest. And so that's why when you understand this process, when you understand God's law and God's way, you get in line with it. And you work it. And I know I talked about this the last young adult service. If you were here, then you kind of know what I'm talking about. But I talked about how can you be on God's fast track in life? How can you see the quick work that God is ready and willing to do in your life? It's by getting God's ways, doing it God's way, where you understand this is how God does it. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a sower like no one's business. And I'm going to see a harvest in fast ways. But if you want to say, I'm going to do it this way, it's going to take a little long because you got to figure it out. Be like, oh, that doesn't work. And then you got to come back and be like, all right, we're going to do it God's ways. Amen. So, all right, let's move on. So we talked about how God's word is seed. We read in the beginning that God's word is seed. So seed lies dormant. And the word of God will lie dormant as just mere words until it's sown into fertile soil. And fertile soil, where the word of God is sown, the Bible says, it's sown into your heart. So the word of God gets planted into your heart. And then when it's planted, it can produce 30, 60, and 100-fold, the Bible says. So the word of God is just going to be words. It's just going to be mere words until you plant it in your heart. And that will change things because we can say we're believing for this, but wait, where is that scripture? You're believing for healing or something that you're believing for in your life, but I don't know if it's in the Old Testament. I don't know if it's in the, I think it says something like this, but it hasn't been planted yet. So we need to know that we need to plant it on inside of our heart. That's where it goes. So we're going to go to Mark 4, and this is where Jesus teaches on seed time and harvest. So that God taught about it in the Old Testament, and then Jesus taught about it in Mark 4. He taught about seed time and harvest, and this is the parable of all parables. He said in verse 13 of Mark 4, when you don't understand what I teach in this parable, you won't be able to understand anything else of my teachings and regarding the kingdom of God. So he's basically saying everything revolves around you understanding this parable. So we got to get this. We got to get what Jesus says here in Mark 4. So we're not going to read all of it, but the beginning of it, it talks about how the word of God is being sown into the hearts of people as they hear the word. And there's four different types of soils that it goes through. And it talks about how hearts are the heart, it's the hearts of the people that hear the word. So how the seed Okay, so yeah, there's different ways, there's different soils. So it talks about how one didn't, there was no seed that actually got planted in the soil. It was just dropped. So it didn't actually get planted. And then the second one was that there were no roots that grew downward. And then another one was that it was choked out by thorns and weeds. And then the fourth one was the one that was planted. It was able to grow roots. And then there were no thorns and weeds that choked it out. So it said it produced and sprouted and grew 30, 60, and 100 fold. So it started to grow and produce and make a great harvest in that the lives of the individual that heard and received the word in their heart. So we need to understand that because the word of God is a seed, in order for it to be produce the harvest in your life, you must sow it in your heart. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to encourage you tonight to take planting the word of God in your heart very seriously. So let's go to Mark 4, verse 14, and we're going to talk about Jesus's explanation of these different types of soils. Mark 4, verse 14 says, "The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, say deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or trouble, and they're persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced." So these are the three soils that were not able to produce fruit in their life. And when it comes to the word of God, all these things right here that they just listed off are works of the devil. The devil will try everything in his power to prevent the word of God from being sown into your heart. We see it here. He doesn't want the word getting sown. He doesn't want the word to take root in your heart. And he wants to distract you to make sure that it will not produce anything in your life. So the Bible says that Satan comes for the word. So it's the seed of the word of God that's going to produce the wonderful things that are found in the word of God, the harvest in your life. And Satan is coming to steal the word. He's coming to make sure that you will not have any form of production, any form of harvest, any form of goodness of God in your life. And so once you know that, this just opens your eyes to say, I gotta fight now. There's an enemy that's after me getting the word of God in my life. There's an enemy that's trying to prevent harvest in my life. There's an enemy, and harvest meaning anything, meaning financially, meaning spiritually, meaning whatever you're believing for. There's an enemy trying to prevent you from getting whatever needs to get sown in your heart. So that's why there's the struggle to wake up early, to get into your word. He wants to distract you. He wants to steal your prayer time because he knows in your time of prayer, in your time of study, you're planting seeds into your life that are going to produce future harvests, that are going to change your life and change the life of those around you. And so it is his business to get all up in your business of seed time and harvest. And so when you understand, this is why Jesus says, if you don't get this, listen, everything else that I'm going to try to teach you and sow into your heart will not work because there's an enemy after your seed. There's an enemy after the word of God that's trying to destroy and steal and uproot you. And so this will put a fight on the inside of you to say, I'm going to protect this. I'm going to guard this with my life. And so what do we do? We're going to guard, the Bible says to guard your heart with diligence, with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. The Bible also says don't give the devil an opportunity. Give no place to the devil. He roams about seeking whom he may devour, but our job is to resist him. So with this knowledge, now we're armed that I'm not going to let the enemy come and steal my seed. I'm not going to let the enemy keep me out of the house of God on Sunday mornings. I'm not going to let the enemy come and make me discouraged and put trouble in my life. When trouble comes, it says here that trouble and problems are one of those things that would cause you to not have the word of God planted in your life. So trouble doesn't come from God. There's something in your life that's a trouble. If it's persecution, if it's trouble, if there's problems in your life, they're from the devil and he can be dealt with. He can be put away by the word of God, by you not letting go of that very word that's going to produce the harvest in your life. And so you fight back. You resist them. You hang on to this word. That's exactly what the last soil, the last heart did. It received the word. It hung on to the word. It clung to the word. Did not let trouble and problems and persecution come to bring it away. We sing about those songs that Christ is my firm foundation. Who is Christ? The Bible says that Christ is the word. When we have Christ, we will not be moved. When we have the word, we will not be moved and we will not be shaken. So we stand in that place. We have to resist the enemy that's coming after our lives. But he's against the seeds that are going to produce goodness, the goodness of God in your life, the glory of God in your life, supernatural things in your life, the impossibilities of God. He's after those sorts of seeds, but he's all for the seeds that are going to produce death in your life. He's all for the seeds that are going to produce jealousy and anger and offense and hurt in your life. So he's out there sowing those seeds, but we have to guard our heart. We have to make sure that we're blocking those seeds and we're only putting in the word of God. We're putting in the word of God. Amen. So Jesus said when we understand this parable, we're going to take action to deliberately fight against anything that's going to stop you from sowing the word of God and taking root and having that word take root in your heart. I want to go to this scripture. Zechariah 4, verse 10. In the NLT. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." So just read that first part. Don't despise these small beginnings, it says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So this scripture, it says that the Lord is pleased and delights when he sees the start of something. And so when a seed is the beginning, that's the first thing. The seed is the initial unit. It's the smallest thing. It even talks about, Jesus talks about the parable of the mustard seed. And I was looking at how small a mustard seed is, because it talks about how small, like it's the smallest of seeds. And a mustard seed, like, you can't even like pick it up. I mean, like, it is small. And so it doesn't matter how small something is when you plant it. The Bible says that when a seed gets planted, there is power in the seed that causes it to grow under the ground and take root. And once it does that, it will spring forth above the earth. It's under the ground, and then it goes above the ground, and then it starts to grow taller and taller and taller and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it becomes this huge tree that everyone takes refuge in just from one mustard seed. And so God's very, very pleased with the start of something. He's very pleased, and he rejoices with the start of something. And so be encouraged that the seed, whatever seeds that you are planting, it might seem small. It might seem like, what is this going to do? Even if it's the beginning of you starting something, you're starting the business that God called you to start. Or even you sowing seeds, you're starting a new job. And you might think, I remember when I started my job, you think, man, this is hard to start a new job. It's hard to start a business. It's hard to start something. And you want to quit. You want to give up. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do when you're starting something. When you're sowing those seeds, when you're planting those seeds, you want to give up, you want to back off, but God is rejoicing because it's in the starting, it's in you not giving up and starting something that is bound to bring the harvest ahead. It's bound to bring fruit ahead. There is good things ahead. I know the things that we're walking in today, right now, me and my husband, are from seeds that we've sown last year, are from seeds that we sowed the year before, are from seeds that I had sown 5 years ago, but I'm now walking in the harvest of them, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in your life, and that's exactly the way that God's intended it to be. Increase, growth, development. But at the beginning, there's that discouragement, and that's why he says, I'm so happy that you've gotten this. That you're starting, that you're sowing the seeds, that you're taking time to plant the word of God in your heart. You're taking time to sow seeds into your life that are going to produce a future harvest ahead of you. So don't despise these small beginnings. Don't despise it, even if it's small. Don't despise it if you think that I'm too late to start something, to go anywhere. I messed up then. But I'm getting on board now, but it's not too late for you to start. It's not too late for you to start sowing seeds. I actually heard this quote this week. It was at work, so it's not spiritual, but I was like, this is good. It says that, what did they say? Oh, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. But the second best time to plant a tree is today. So you might have missed your moment then, but the second best time to do it is now, today. And so that's what is so encouraging about the word of God, is once you understand that this is how to change things in life, this is how to receive what God has for you, this is how you tap in to the goodness of God, the glory of God, the supernatural that God has in his word. We can go and talk all about that, but that's not what this message is about. This is about you getting that everything comes from seed. And then there shall be a great and glorious harvest ahead. Amen. So once you grab a hold of this truth, you're gonna, and then you decide that you're not gonna stop sowing. You're not gonna let anything stop you from sowing good seeds in your life. You're gonna see that it actually doesn't take that long. There's gonna be a very quick work that God will do when you get in line, because this law governs every area of your life. I remember when we lived in an apartment, one of the things that George would say is that we're going to be homeowners one day. So we have to live like homeowners. So we treated our apartment, what we were renting, as if it was our own. You're sowing seeds in that way. That might not seem like it's a seed, but you can apply this principle in every single area of your life, because you're setting yourself up for your future. You're now, one day we'll be landowners, we'll be homeowners, will be landlords. That's the word I was looking for, landlords. And so then we were good, what's the word when you're renters? Tenants, yeah. So we were sowing good seeds of good tenants. And then it's all what you sowed in the past. When you start your work, if you're a good employee and you sow into learning in your job, to progressing in your job, you're going to receive a harvest of promotions in the future. So you can apply this principle in every area of your life. This is the last scripture I want to go to so the worship team can come up. But we're going back to Galatians verse 6. Not verse 6, Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So don't grow tired of sowing seeds. Don't grow tired of putting the word of God on the inside of you. I know I've talked with people as they're starting in the word of God. And, you know, you start to see things when you've come out of the bad harvest that you were in, the bad life that you were in. But then, you know, you want to see growth like this. You want to see, you know, you look at people and you're like, I want to be there. You want to get there overnight, but that's not how it works. But don't, that's why the scripture says don't grow tired of growing and doing what's right by planting the seed of the word of God. You are growing roots down, deep, down where no one can see it. It's underground. So it might not seem like, man, I'm producing harvest, but you got to know that seed time and harvest is at work. The seed is working. The word of God is working in your life. And you have to know that stuff's happening. You might not see it right now. People around you might not see it right now. And that's the time where it is trying. But I'm telling you, it's worth it, because you're going to begin to see, the Bible says, then it sprouts from the ground. The seed sprouts from the ground. Then people can start to see. First the blade, then the head. Then they start to see the full grain on the head. Then it's full harvest time. I know for me, I mean, there's a lot of pregnant people here, but it's like, at first you're like, what's going on in there? You don't see anything. So it's like you're kind of wondering, like, what's happening? But then, like, it starts to grow, and then you can see, and then people can see. They know something's growing, and then you start to feel things. The baby's moving and all that stuff. It's the same thing. The supernatural part is God's doing the work. I'm not waking up tomorrow and saying, I'm going to create the elbow. Today I made the knees and the nose. Now the baby can smell. I'm not doing that. The seed is growing. The seed is growing on the inside of me. God's the one that's bringing the increase. And so you have to know the seed was sown, okay? The seed was sown. When you sow the seed, it's working. It's working and God's doing it. So allow God to do it and don't give up. Don't lose faith. Don't grow weary. Don't faint. At just the right time, you will reap. You will deliver. And you will see the harvest of blessing when you don't give up. Amen. Hallelujah. If you were blessed tonight, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. I know that if you grab a hold of this, it's going to change your life. Seed time and harvest. This was one thing that once I understood this, it truly changed my life, because now I understand my life's a seed. I'm not waking up doing my own thing every day. I'm not going to let the enemy steal my time with the Lord, steal my time to sow, steal my time to put forth energy. We can go about just living life, but the Bible's given us his word so that we have assignment with our lives. We have tasks to do. We have a call on our lives, and God has put that on each and every one of you. And so know that there is absolutely nothing that can steal God's word from your life when you understand this principle. And I know you're going to see great and glorious harvest as a result of this word getting planted on the inside of you. And so if you will, let's rise to our feet, and I'm going to pray for everyone tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is seed. It's incorruptible seed. And that as we've heard tonight, I thank you that it fell on good ground in everybody's heart. I thank you, Lord, that it will produce harvest ahead. Thank you, Lord, for fresh grace coming upon us right now, Lord, to do what you've called us to do in your word, to obey this word, Father, to sow the seed and resist everything that will try to prevent us from seeing the goodness of God in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God who brings the increase. You're the God who does the supernatural, Father. And we thank you, Lord, in advance, Lord, for the 100-fold return in our lives. May we not settle for seeing nothing in our lives. May we not settle for just the 30. May we not settle for just the 60-fold, but may we see the maximum return that we could in our lives, Father, as a result of your word. And may you be glorified because of it. We thank you in advance, Father, for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. And we love you and honor you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And I want to ask everybody here tonight, if you've heard this word tonight and you know that I've never given my life to Jesus, I want to share with you that God has brought you here to receive Him tonight, to receive His word and receive